brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Kataka is your average small town out in the middle of nowhere, Virginia. Except for one thing. Our town's surrounded by lanterns that have to be lit every night. Pretty weird, right? As far as I know, this has been going on ever since the town's founding back in 1872. 30 lanterns spaced around the town's perimeter that had to be lit every day before sundown. Well, last night, they all went out. Rumors spread fast in a small town. Everyone and their dog had an opinion on what happens when they go out. These rumors all stemmed from an incident that happened when I was 8 years old. One night, right as the sun set, there was a small earthquake, then 9 of the lanterns went out. The next day, 17 people were missing. Their cases were swept under the rug, just like every other time. There are people who know what happens, but I guess they just keep it to themselves. The town has a warning system that alerts the town if a lantern goes out. Since then, we've only ever had one or two out at a time that I know of. Every time, it's had the same conclusion. We would get the warning and lock our home down the best we could. Then, the next day, I prayed that everyone was still here. Sometimes that would be true, but most of the time, the town's population would shrink by one or two. After graduating from my small-town high school, I went off to a college, which was about 2 hours away. Everything was going great, and honestly, I was glad to be away. Fast forward to my second year, and I wasn't doing very hot. Poor time management and all-around laziness cost me my scholarship that was getting me by. I was low on funds, and summer was coming up, so I decided to move back home to try and save enough to pay for my next year's classes. My mood had started to change, and I was actually enjoying spending time with my family, who was happy to see me. I didn't have the nerve to tell them about my misfortunes in school. I would cross that bridge when I came to it. My uncle runs a restaurant in town and gave me a job that helped me get back on my feet. My free time was spent reading or going on hikes throughout the forest. It helped me put my mind at ease. It felt like one of the only places I could truly relax. Every aspect of the town was ideal. Everyone was nice and always greeted with a smile. There was pretty much no crime except for petty things like graffiti and teenagers sneaking off into abandoned homes to get drunk. The only reason we had such a large police force was because of the lanterns. There were special teams that went out heavily armed every night to patrol the perimeter to make sure the lanterns stayed lit. I don't even know if you could call them police. The amount of gear they had was more akin to a soldier. I was positive that they knew what was happening to our town. I asked someone on one of the teams when I was younger. He was my neighbor, Mr. Douglas. He was a scary-looking man, but he was always nice to me and my sister. One day, I worked up the courage to ask him. I quickly realized my mistake when he got a very serious look on his face and told me to never ask him that again. He said I was too young to be worrying about that kind of thing. He apologized the next day profusely for getting so angry. It's safe to say I never asked that question again. Mr. Douglas went missing one night when two lanterns went out while he was on patrol. I was in 11th grade at the time. My friend, Evan, from school, lived close to where the lanterns went out. His family was sheltering in the basement after getting the alert when he heard a vehicle skid to a halt and people get out. He said that silenced gunshots rang out through the night air, followed by screams from the police. A few minutes later, he saw a bright flash and heard the van crank up and ride out even faster than it arrived. I later learned that it wasn't only Mr. Douglas who disappeared that night, but also one other person from his group. The van sped away because four of the surviving people from the team were injured and needed to be treated at the hospital. Another time, my family had just finished dinner when we got the alert. This time, it was a special warning, meaning that a lantern had gone out close to your home. We made it through the night unscathed. But I remember it was around 2 a.m. We were all huddled in the living room, and I swear, I heard laughing. It wasn't your normal laughter. It sounded twisted, almost maniacal. Followed by screams from who I later learned was Miss Weaver, a widow from down the street. Her screams still haunt my dreams to this day. I tried to talk to my parents about it the next day, but they wouldn't give me an answer. Asking my father about the laughing caused him to yell at me and send me to my room. He said as long as we stayed quiet and indoors, nothing bad would happen. I don't know if he just wouldn't tell me because he still thought I was a kid or what, but I definitely got the vibe that he knew something and didn't want to tell me. One more thing before I tell you about the events that unfolded yesterday. The lanterns. I come across them every so often while out on some of my hikes. They look more like a tiki torch you would see at a luau. At least, that's what I think. A metal pole that's covered with foreign markings that looked similar to Egyptian hieroglyphs. I've tried to no avail to find what language it is. Then you have the light source. It's a cylinder that is encased in glass to protect the flame from the elements. There is a small metal latch that opens so the torch can be ignited. One of the strangest things is that the lantern's flame is purple. I've never seen anything like it. I often questioned my parents why we stayed in this town. Sure, we weren't rich by any means, but I knew we could afford to relocate. Most of the time I was just brushed off, but one night, after my dad had one too many drinks, he told me.
We stay to protect this place and the people outside of it. You'll understand someday when you're old enough. He told me through slurred words.
Not very cryptic, I know. I was sent off to bed after that by my mother. I often wondered what he meant by protecting this place. Wouldn't it be in everyone's best interest to just leave? Get away from here, so we didn't have to go to sleep wondering if we would be taken next. What did I know, anyway? After all, everyone thinks I'm just a kid. So, yeah, that's a little introduction and backstory for Kataka. I just wanted to give you an idea of my interesting childhood town. If it didn't have its issues, it would be a picture-perfect town. Sadly, lanterns that ward off evil are the kind of thing that takes that away. So, now let me tell you what happened yesterday. The day started off like any other. I got up, made a quick breakfast, and headed out the door for work. Work was slow. I guess everyone was eating at home today. The regulars came in, like Mr. Joshua and his wife, and I enjoyed talking to them for a while to pass the time. It had finally gotten time to close up at 5 p.m., and not to pat myself on the back or anything, but you would be amazed if you saw the speed I can close up shop. I said my farewell to my uncle and hopped on my bike to head home for the day. It's always strange driving home in the evening and seeing everyone hurriedly closing up their business. None stay open after the sun sets. The only things that operate are emergency services and our town's surprisingly large hospital. I waved as I rode by Miss Susan's, who ran a bakery a few blocks away from the restaurant. She used to always give me free treats when I was younger. She's a kind, older woman who's always smiling. I made it home, putting my bike up in the garage. Got through the door and was met with the smell of my mom's amazing cooking. I think she could give Uncle Brian a run for his money. Tonight, we were having spaghetti. After the feast, I was in the living room with my sister and father watching TV. My mom was cleaning up after the meal, That's when it happened. The house began to shake, and a few moments later, a loud boom was heard. I stood up, trying to keep my balance, while my father grabbed hold of the bookshelf that was threatening to fall on my sister. My little sister was crying, calling out for her parents. My dad reached and grabbed her, picking her up. The power flashed a few times, then went out completely. The shaking stopped after about 20 seconds, and my mom made her way out from under the dining room table. After my dad calmed my sister down, he began making phone calls. He tried the emergency service number, but it was busy. My mom was on the phone talking to who I assumed was our neighbors, asking if they were okay. I heard my dad began talking to someone who I soon learned was Mr. Mathers. He was a deputy. I guess he had his personal number.
Wait, how did that happen?
My father basically shouted into his phone.
Are you sure?
Oh, God. I gotta make some calls. Thanks for telling me, Mathers. Be safe. My dad clicked the end call button and began scrolling frantically through his contacts list.
What's happening, honey?
My mom asked with a concerned look.
Listen, you and the kids start closing up and locking every window and door in the house. I'll explain in a minute. Just please do it right now.
He looked at my mother sternly, and I could tell he was shaken.
You heard your father. Let's go.
There were so many questions that I wanted to ask him at the time, but one look at him told me that this was serious. There was no doubt in my mind that it had something to do with the lanterns. I would find out in a minute that my assumptions were unfortunately correct. We were all running through the house like rats in a maze, shutting and locking everything. My mother grabbed all the extra sheets from the closet and began hanging them over the windows. After finishing, we all returned to the living room. I looked to my father.
Dad, what's going on?
He looked at me and began to speak. That's when all of our phones buzzed. Special alert. Seismic activity has been reported from the north, south, east, and west sections of Kataka. Our police special teams have been dispatched to investigate. At this moment, we have recorded 12 lanterns that are no longer lit, but that number is likely higher. We highly encourage everyone to barricade your homes and shelter in a secure room that is furthest from the outside. If you see or hear anything, call the emergency hotline right away.
Oh, God,
my mother said, while hugging my sister tight. The next half an hour was spent moving everything we needed upstairs into my sister's bedroom, which we chose as it only had one window as an access point. Every so often, the silence would be broken by what sounded like gunshots off in the distance. I would also see bright flashes of light off in the distance that seemed to reach out for the clouds above. I remembered what Evan told me, and wondered if that was what he had seen. After sitting down in silence for a few minutes, just listening and peeking outside, my father finally spoke.
Hon, would you and your sister mind stepping out into the hallway for a moment? I've got some things to tell Tyler.
My dad asked my mom, and she nodded. They both exited the room.
Listen, Tyler, I know I didn't tell you much about what's going on in this town, but it's because I wanted to keep you away from all this. Now, though, there are some things you need to understand.
I shook my head while listening intently.
There have been worse incidents than the one that happened 8 years ago. He paused. This town has been plagued by those things since its founding. Your relatives have been here protecting this place since the start. I don't do much anymore, but I used to help out with the police department when I was younger. Before you were born, I'd go out almost every night and try to keep the town safe.
I was trying to process all of the information my dad was telling me. I never knew he worked for the police, or that my family had been in this town for so long. The questions were piling up in my head, but I found some that took precedence. So, what were you protecting us from? What happens when the lanterns go out?
There are only rumors about the lanterns that I've heard. They didn't tell us much, only that they were our best protection against them. I heard that around the time the town was founded, they started to be targeted by them, and a local priest created the lanterns. No one knows how he did it. Divine intervention, I suppose.
What did they protect us from?
The people before us called them the Trobas. I can't tell you where they came from. My best guess is either hell or some other world. Cracks form in the ground some nights, and they are what crawl out. The lanterns help ward off whatever they do to get here. But sometimes it's too strong, and the lanterns go out.
So, why don't we just leave? Why does the town have to stay here?
Because if we go, they will get out. Without the lanterns to keep them at bay, they would flood in and spread farther than the reaches of Kataka. That's why we stay here, to make sure that never happens.
It was all making more sense now in my head. Everyone in this town feels obligated to help in some way, to help protect not only the town, but everyone outside of it, too. At least the people that know what's coming.
Oh, and one more thing, Tyler.
My dad said, grabbing a case he brought upstairs with him.
If those things get in the house, use this.
He opens the case, which had three round balls that looked like hand grenades.
I don't think we should have bombs in the house, Dad.
Listen, these don't explode. You push the button at the top, and it releases a bright flash. The Trovas hate light, so if you get in a bind, they'll buy you a few seconds. Normally, the street lights keep them away. But now that they're out, these things will have free rein.
My mind was reeling, but I was also very grateful that my dad was confident enough to finally tell me. He called for my mom and my sister to come back in, and we all continued idle chit-chat, trying to distract ourselves. Shots were ringing off in the distance, but I could tell some of them were getting closer. Every so often, my dad would glance out between the sheets on the window to glance at the street below. Our silence was cut when an armored police van drove onto our street. I looked out and noticed they were setting up a perimeter. Some stayed around the van, propped up on the ajar doors, while others took points behind my neighbor's cars. They were all aiming in the same direction.
That's when I heard it. Laughter. It was so quiet at first, I didn't know what I was hearing.
I looked over at my dad, who was staring intently at the police, who had their rifles pointed in the direction of the sound.
"What's that, Daddy?"
my sister, Katie, asked.
"It's nothing, sweetie. The police are going to keep us safe. Don't you worry."
I glanced at my father and whispered so my sister wouldn't hear.
"Is it a Trobus?"
He nodded, and I felt a lump begin to form in my throat. My father tightened his grip on the rifle he grabbed from the closet. He handed me a handgun that he had taken me out a few times to shoot. The laughter was getting louder at this point, and it sounded like more than one.
"You remember how to use this, right?"
my father said rhetorically, and I nodded.
"Daddy, I'm scared."
Katie let out with a whimper.
"I know, sweetie. You and your mom just stay over there. The police will handle it. Remember, if nothing else, your brother and I will keep you safe."
He turned with a smile to face my sister. That seemed to calm her down. We sat, listening, as the laughter grew louder and louder.
Then, I saw one. A Trobus. It was pitch black in color,
with long appendages. It was no wider than a person, but it stood at least 12 feet. Two long arms reached all the way to the ground, being dragged lazily along. Its head was disproportionately large compared to the rest of it, with a mouth that stretched ear to ear. Its eyes were two yellow saucers that seemed to glow in the moonlight.
Target sighted. Open fire.
The police from down the street began to release a barrage of hot metal as I saw two more come out from the trees behind Mr. Derek's house. They stayed at the edge of the path of light coming from the van's headlights, which gave them an eerie glow. The one in front seemed to buckle and fall to its knees, while the other two swayed a little but kept walking. The whole time they were rocking their heads back and forth, letting out some of the most inhuman laughter I've ever heard. My little sister was crying in my mother's arms, while me and my dad were peeking through the sheet, looking at the events unfolding on the street.
"Oh no," my dad muttered.
A long black arm reached out from behind another house and grabbed an officer. Before anyone could react, it pulled him off his feet and unhinged its jaw, displaying a mouth full of jagged teeth. With one motion, it bit the man in half before he could even process what was happening. Two soldiers turned and began firing at the creature. It didn't seem bothered at all because it picked up the man's other half and dropped it into its mouth. Three more of the creatures appeared from the other side of the street and cornered two more soldiers. They screamed and pleaded for their lives as they were devoured. Just as the Trobus were coming down on the remaining four officers, one of them pulled out two of those light grenades and set them off. The Trobus finally stopped laughing and let out an ear-shattering shriek that nearly made my ears bleed. While they were wailing, the remaining officers piled into their van and floored it out of the street. After they left, the Trobus were walking around, picking up the remaining pieces of the deceased officers. My dad was white-knuckling the grip on his rifle as he slumped down against the wall. He looked at all of us, who all wore shocked expressions.
"We just have to stay here and keep quiet. Everything's gonna be fine. As soon as the sun rises, we'll be okay."
My dad kept peeking out the window periodically to see if the Trobus would leave. They slowed their march and looked to be checking out each home. I assumed they were trying to see the residents inside. Our concentration was broken when glass shattered outside. One of the Trobus had just broken the Johnson family's window. It stared through the new entrance for a moment before lowering its body to climb through. The others on the street soon followed until four had climbed into their living room. We just sat and prayed that they wouldn't find the family in the house. What a wishful thought it was. We heard a banging as one of the Trobus started hurling itself into a door. Screaming rang out through the night, accompanied by laughter, which was increasing in volume. A window slid open and a woman climbed out of it. Then a man exited as well, as I heard the door finally gave out. The Johnsons were an older couple who had to be in their late 60s. Mr. Johnson seemed to have hurt his leg when he tumbled out and had to be assisted by his wife. They were hobbling along when I saw it. A Trobus was making its way around to the side of the house they were on. I watched on in horror as an arm wrapped around the corner and grabbed Mr. Johnson by the throat. His wife cried out in terror as the man she had been married to for so long was lowered into the creature's mouth. One wet crunch later, and Mr. Johnson was no more. I looked over at my dad, who at this point had pulled out one of the light grenades out from its case. I knew he was fighting hard in his mind whether or not to open the window and toss it. If he did, it could alert the creatures of us. But without it, Miss Johnson was surely going to perish. A moment later, he put his hands to his head and slumped back down behind the window as Miss Johnson's screams were silenced.
"I'm sorry,"
he muttered to himself, as my mother came over and wrapped him up in her arms. We sat for a little while, accompanied only by the light of the moon and laughter from our assailants. Another window shattered in a house down the street as screams once again filled the night air.
The street lamps usually keep them away, my dad began. We always knew they had some intelligence, but this is insane. The only reason they ever got into someone's house was if they saw or heard something. But now, it seems more like they're sweeping each house.
What are we going to do if they get into this one? My mother asked.
We need to leave before that happens, my dad answered, and looked at us, waiting for confirmation. We all nodded in silent agreement. The hospital or the police station is probably our safest bet. They run off generators, so they should have lights. We were always told to go to one or the other if something major like this ever happened and we needed to regroup. The hospital's closer, so that's where we'll go.
More and more screams were filling the air as we devised our plan of escape. We needed to first get to my dad's truck, which was out in the driveway. This is one of those times when I wished we had a garage. If we couldn't wait for an opening, my dad was going to use the flash grenades to buy us some time while we loaded into the truck. We also had two flashlights. Even though they wouldn't do much good, my dad said one good shot in the eyes would definitely hurt. With a plan in mind, we all crept down into the living room and waited for the right moment. After a while of waiting, with no sign of them moving on, we decided to make a run for it, before they got so close that we wouldn't be able to make it without being grabbed.
Everyone ready? Looks like now's gonna be our only best bet,
my dad said, while putting his hand on my sister's head.
Here, Tyler, hold on to this, just in case.
He handed me one of the flash grenades, and I took off the small gym bag I had on and put it inside. My dad was going to throw one once we stepped outside to give us time to reach the truck. I guess mine was insurance, just in case we needed more time.
All right, let's go.
Throwing open the door caused the Trobus a house down to cease banging on the front door and turn to us. My dad raised his rifle and sent a few rounds into the closest one, which made it crumple to the ground. He then held the flash grenade, pressed the button, and tossed it.
Shut your eyes, he shouted as it went off.
Temporary blindness filled my vision as we raced to the safety of the vehicle. My mother and sister reached it first as me and my father were holding up the rear with weapons drawn. I looked over as the Trobus, who were previously blinded, quieted their shrieks and began to cackle again as they raised themselves up. Me and my dad made it into the truck as he shoved the key into the ignition. I'm surprised that the gear shifter didn't tear off as hard as he shifted down to drive. The tires screeched as we left the driveway and tore onto the street. We drove by houses that were untouched while others had doors or windows broken in. We would pass small groups of Trobus or single ones, all bobbing their heads, laughing into the night air.
I've never seen this many, my dad stated. The only other time I know something of this magnitude happened was back in 1915.
Something like this has already happened?
I asked my dad while looking out the window.
The reports I saw said one night there was a massive earthquake and unholy creatures ravaged the town. Nearly half the town was wiped out. We had better practices in town now because of it. But Jesus, it still looks like hell out here.
We were about a 3-minute drive from the hospital at this point. Rounding the corner, I saw an overturned car with blood trailing out from the passenger side. Farther up the road, there was another, and I swear I saw something crouching behind it. As we got closer, I realized.
Dad, look out!
A Trobus stood out from behind the vehicle and made its way into the center of the road. He tried to swerve, but hit the curve, and the truck began swaying widely as we fishtailed before it finally tipped on its side. I must have been knocked unconscious for a moment, because when I came to,
All I heard was screaming and laughter. A long, black arm reached around the driver's side and gripped my dad's shoulder. He cried out as the dark, pointy fingers dug into his flesh. He was being pulled out of the vehicle by this monstrosity. I tried to think of what to do. It wasn't going to be long before my father became this thing's next meal. A light bulb came on in my mind as I remembered the flash grenade I had in my bag. I reached around for it as I heard more laughter fill the night air. More Trobas were on their way. I slammed my feet into the front windshield with every ounce of strength I had. My legs buzzed with static. After a few hearty kicks, it gave in, and I started crawling out. The remaining glass was shredding my forearms as I crawled. Making it out, I saw my father, whose shirt was slowly being painted red with blood. I took off the gym bag that contained my last hope for saving my dad. Three more Trobas were making their way over as I pressed the button. The most beautiful flash of light I had ever seen lit up the night. I never knew how happy hearing a body hit the ground could make me. When the white spots left my vision, I made my way to my dad, who was lying on the ground, gasping for air.
"It's okay, Dad. You're safe now."
As I said that, he raised his now only good arm and pointed behind me. They were already getting up. I pulled my dad over to the curb to sit him up as he motioned me to hand him his rifle. I went to the car and helped my mom and sister out. I pulled the flashlight I had out and shined it into the Trobus that had become a little too close for comfort. It threw its arms up wildly and let out one ear-shattering shriek. It was still walking over as I held the flashlight in one hand and the pistol in the other. My dad was firing from his position on the sidewalk, with my mother and sister at his side.
"Get back!"
I yelled at the creature before me, who did nothing but laugh with his companions close behind. I kept firing until I heard the click of an empty magazine. I pulled off my bag to get another magazine when an arm came crashing into my chest. I was airborne for what felt like an eternity, until I came tumbling back into the earth below. I opened my eyes only for a moment to see my dad pull out his last grenade and fill the night with light one last time. I woke up in the hospital the next morning with my sister and mother by my side. They were cut and bruised pretty badly, but I was so happy to see them alive. I learned that my father was worse for wear and was being prepped for surgery. After I passed out from being flung from the road onto someone's yard, I learned that my father was the one who held the Trobus off long enough for help to arrive. He kept firing until he ran out of ammo and shielded my sister and mom with his body. He was hit like I was, and he had a punctured lung and broken rib. His left shoulder was also ripped to shreds. My mother said they had all accepted their demise when one of the police vans rolled onto the street. Their headlights were strong enough to make the Trobus back up away from my family. They loaded me and my father's unconscious bodies into the van and took all of us back to the hospital. Our town of about 3,000 actually fared pretty well, all things considered, especially if you stack it up against the last time this happened in 1915. It is still very depressing to know that 115 of the town's residents are no longer here. I knew that this was a pretty close-knit town, but the sense of camaraderie has not been at the level I had seen these last few days. I'm also doing my best to help out where I can, but the doctors said I have a pretty serious concussion from being launched 30 or so yards. I've been helping prepare meals for people who need them. I want to thank you all for your support and kind words in the comments. My eyes have definitely been opened to some new ideas. I want to learn all about this town and try to help them.
That's why I've decided against returning to school. My new goal is to become a police officer and help keep the town safe. My plan is to one day figure out how to stop the Trollbus for good. That's all I have to write for now. If something crazy happens in the future, I'll let you all know. Now, all I want to do is protect the town and keep the lanterns lit.